your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Joining me today, Sam Arellano, Chief Marketing Officer at Candescent. And Candescent is a cultivator of ultra-premium cannabis products headquartered in Santa Barbara, California. Sam, awesome to have you on.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So, Sam, I know you guys have been super busy. You guys have been launching another brand, and especially during this crazy time. But I thought it'd be fun just to start the show and, you know, talk to us a little bit about what you're doing over at Candescent and a little bit about the brand.
Certainly, happy to. So for those not familiar, Candescent launched in 2015 as a vertically integrated cultivator and processor and distributor of ultra-premium flower. We like to say that we empower adults to turn down the noise, unlock the moment, and transform lives of with exceptional cannabis products. Candescent is the first cultivator in the world to abandon traditional strain names, and we pioneered effect-based cannabis. That means we don't speak in strains, we speak in desired user experience. We have five effects. Presumably, I'll get an opportunity to go into those further into the podcast. They are Calm, Cruise, Create, Connect, and Charge. By simply answering, how do you want to feel? Expert and novice consumers alike can curate their desired experience. And our ultra-premium cannabis products start with ultra-premium flower. We've taken years to perfect our proprietary cultivation process. At Candescent, we measure 8 different environmental factors customized by strain and stage to deliver expansive aromas, rich flavors, and consistent experiences.
That's awesome. So right off the bat, I think that's a really great way to kind of bucket products for especially people who are just getting situated and being exposed to maybe a cannabis product itself. And I think we've seen just from speaking to so many different folks and companies out there that education is clearly, it's super important right now, and people just don't understand when they're trying new products. What was it that got you guys to really group the products in those categories? Like, was it education and for them to really kind of latch on to that? Or was it trying to differentiate yourself in the industry?
For new consumers or consumers who are coming back to cannabis, strain names, look, they're scary, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention the periodic table of THC, CBD, THCA, cannabinoids, terpenes, etc. Consumers are expected to navigate at the point of purchase this sort of quasi chemistry class. I mean, I like pinots that come from California Central Valley, but I'm not trying to take a chemistry class to purchase one. So, we focused on desired user experience. As I mentioned, we offer 5 effects so consumers can curate the experience that they desire. In order of indica to sativa, if you want to, if we can speak of it in that way, it's
sure.
Calm, cruise, create, connect, and charge. Moving from indica to indica leaning hybrids, and then sativa leaning hybrids, and then all the way to charge, which is our true sativa. And then when we think about those desired user experiences, we've sort of positioned each within what you would expect those names infer. For calm, we encourage consumers to try calm when they want restful sleep, relaxation, or relief. Cruise for when you want to keep the pace without the stress to help you sail through the day. Create, which is my personal favorite, for when you want to find creativity to help you accomplish your goals. Connect, maybe for when it's time to laugh or go out with friends. And then certainly charge when it's time to go on a run or go out at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's a really great way to dive into different products, right? Depending on, how you want to feel. Can you maybe talk to us a little bit about what you guys have been working on most recently? You guys just launched Baker's Cannabis Company, I think officially maybe 2 weeks ago. And, would love for you to talk a little bit more about, as you guys were developing the brand and what you were focusing on. And I think that would be a really good starting point and also an exciting topic for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Baker's Cannabis Co., as you mentioned, is our newly launched deep value brand. So with Baker's, We've sort of positioned it to appreciate consumers' everyday routine by keeping prices low, quality high, and ingredients honest. Our mission is to deliver consumers super affordable legal cannabis in stock, readily accessible through licensed dispensaries whenever they crave it. So that's sort of our positioning. That's sort of our take and perspective on the brand. But the brand started in earnest, or at least the work behind the scenes in developing Baker started late last year. A value brand was something our team had long considered, but not yet realized. Our focus at the time was to provide customers with a solution, as I mentioned, for readily available, super affordable cannabis. To provide it and to provide it in product sizes we knew everyday consumers would find extremely valuable. So as we were developing that into this year, into 2020, it was in late February where COVID-19 began taking hold here in California. What felt like overnight, tens of thousands of hardworking Americans, and in our case, Californians, were furloughed, or worse yet, laid off.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, as I mentioned, you know, we had already developed Baker's for the everyday cannabis consumer. So in many ways, we were fashioning an egalitarian brand, a deep value brand for people who choose cannabis daily, you know, be it medically or recreationally. We knew we wanted something that suited everyone and at a price point that was approachable. In our minds, you know, we knew these people as people whose jobs were physically demanding and or lives emotionally stressful. Lives in one way or another constrained by beyond their control. Caring for a loved one, working two jobs to make ends meet, or double timing work in school. So by the time we reached early March, conditions around COVID-19 were evolving, as you know, very, very rapidly, daily. You couldn't escape the news cycle, and each day seemed to progressively get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, we perceived the Baker's consumer as perhaps the most profoundly impacted. That's when we decided to make the decision to move bring forward the launch by 90 days. What was originally slated for July, we launched in early April. And we did this for two reasons. The first of which is to keep cannabis safe and legal. Like without question, that was our driving motivation. We perceived the additional stress brought on by the pandemic, coupled with job loss, an incentive that would drive daily consumers back to the black market. And then for the second reason, to immediately provide daily cannabis consumers a product that they could trust at a price that they could afford. So in doing so, in bringing the launch forward by 90 days from July to April, we wanted to bring comfort and or a measure of health and wellness to those we thought needed it the most. And we felt like this was the right thing to do at the time.
I mean, that's a great story. And I think it's not one that I've heard at a lot of the folks that I've talked to, especially, you know, going through the pandemic. I feel like moving a launch strategy up is something that people probably would have said, let's move it back. So I think that's great that you guys, you know, one, have a product that could appeal to so many different people during this time. I'm curious about the, you know, how have people taken to the new brand during this pandemic?
Yeah, so we launched Baker's Cannabis Co. just under a month ago. So data is early, but anecdotally, the results have been phenomenally, beyond anecdotally, I should say, because reorders are already happening. So it feels as though we've got a little bit, I would say the tiger by the tail in this instance, but it's still early, but we're very pleased at the results so far.
That's awesome. I'm curious, you know, from a Candescent, you know, perspective, obviously you guys are really focused on the California market. You know, are you guys looking to expand across other states?
You know, there was a time not long ago where we were very focused on nationwide expansion and had projects in progress in places like Michigan and Massachusetts in particular. And we've also dabbled in Nevada. But as you know, things evolve very, very quickly in this space, this fast-moving if I could call it a CPG space now.
Okay, it sure is.
Yeah. So things are evolving very, very quickly. And look, it's no secret that brands like Candescent, certainly in California and moreover across the country, have had to make some difficult decisions in the last 12 months. And one of those decisions that we had to make was to refocus where we already had some momentum. So while I'll say the opportunity and desire to grow into what we call not an MSO, but an MSBO, multi-state brand operator, is out there, we're very focused on California in the short term.
Awesome. You know, you guys are at least a modern brand that's really transforming, you know, cannabis experiences. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, the mission, not just from the brand, but also from you as the CMO and how you're actually helping bring that to life and fulfill it?
Yes, absolutely. So Candescent's stated mission, and I think I mentioned this briefly, is to cultivate transformative products and services that tune and enrich the human experience. Central to this is the quality and integrity of the product we create in our gardens. But I'm also talking about user experience and repeatability. We live this mission in other ways as well. From the marketing perspective, and I think more to the specifics of your question, it's about reshaping the conversation around adult recreational consumption of cannabis. It's about educating consumers about the holistic health and wellness benefits of cannabis. And Candescent's success as a luxury brand, in large part, is reliant on our ability to educate consumers and eradicate stigma. I know you've heard that before. In this way, Candescent helps initiate the uninitiated through messaging that is relatable. We're very values forward. And from a consumer packaged goods perspective, we like to think that we have a very compelling visual offering. And then furthermore, it's why we've abandoned traditional strain names in the first place and replaced them with effects-based architecture that we have. So these are just some of the ways that we are being transformative and trying to enrich consumers' experience. Speaking of consumers, beyond new consumers, we help transition cannabis consumers who perhaps once had a relationship with cannabis earlier in life, but now seek a new relatable experience outside of alcohol, for instance. And of course, connoisseurs who appreciate ultra premium flower seek out Candescent routinely. So starts with product, but it very much has to do with how we package and present the brand. Always keeping mindful of a variety of entrants and at which point they're entering the marketing market or re-entering the market, I should say. The consumer's at the center of everything we do from a marketing and branding perspective.
Yeah, and I feel like your products in general kind of have a sense of, okay, I know this is Candescent, right? You guys, your logo is very visual. The colors are usually orange, mm-hmm. And some other shades of that as well. So I feel like if I'm trying your products for the first time and then I come back to buy them again, I kind of visually I'm honing in on that from a brand perspective. And I think that's one of the things that for a lot of the brands out there have a hard time in getting people to repeat products and become loyal because they're not associating the brand with it. So I'm just curious from you, you know, kind of being the chief marketing officer for all of the different products and the portfolios, is that how you guys are looking at it? Like, hey, we want someone to really connect with who we are, not just from a, you know, color scheme, you know, perspective, but also from like a visual brand perspective so that if they see it in other places too, they actually know exactly where to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2015, when Candescent first came to market, a lot of what you speak of was new and novel, bringing the very best in class of luxury and or fashionable CPG influenced products to market. Now today, you'll see sort of a similar, not so much from a color perspective per se, but certainly an elevated expression in branding that, at least in the California market, we're seeing time and time again. And I think, you know, for the reason that we first launched with this direction in mind, it's about being relatable beyond the sort of cannabis vertical, if you will. you know, depending on the perspective from which you operate in this industry, or someone may operate within this industry, your purview, if you will, or your worldview, if you will, could either be limited, or if you are like many brands in California who are bringing and migrating sort of best-in-class marketers from other industries, it might be larger, right? So if you feel as though you're a generational or institutional cannabis cultivator, you may have a perspective that is different than someone who's, say, coming from PepsiCo or Nike or Apple. And I, in the instance of Candescent, we have a very diverse mix of personnel, all with a lot of different sort of varying CPG experience. But one thing has always remained true is to my earlier point about keeping the consumer central. We knew our product was luxury. We knew our product was sort of outstanding in its field. So it was, when you're, you know, as a marketing person, having a product that is stand out, I mean, that's the best thing that we could ever hope for, right? Because the product does the majority of the lift. But it's really great to have been able to contribute in my time here, just the elevation and the continuing sort of leaning into this aspirational lifestyle component that Candescent has done so well. And so we like to think that we attract with that type of communication and that type of visual strategy or brand expression, and then the repeatability and loyalty can come from quality product experiences time and time again.
Totally. Do you think that, obviously, with you guys abandoning that traditional strain names, do you kind of look at that as some of the other folks around you might say, actually, you know what, people are reacting really well to that with the different names that you guys have come up with? Do you think we'll see like more brands following suit? I know you guys were like one of the first to abandon that. I'm just curious if you think it'll be like hey, let's do that too. That seems to be working.
Well, certainly there's several others who have adopted similar methodologies. So I guess for those of us who've done that, we've chosen our lane. I mean, mm-hmm. In all honesty, in creating contrast, there are regions within California alone that how would I put this, are very traditional in their approach and in their view of generational growth and not wanting to adopt or adapt to new ways of thinking. We find this more, we find this less and less, I should say, but it is to say that this is still a new and novel concept, but it's really consumer focused. So when you're dealing with wholesale customers, you understand the first path to purchase, the first sort of milestone marker there is getting it through the buyer and onto the shelf, and so a lot of education and a lot of explaining relative to what the intent was and how it correlates to what they more historically are comfortable with needs to happen. But at the consumer level, it's much more intuitive. Like I said earlier, about creating a consumer brand, or in the instance of Candescent, a luxury lifestyle brand, we're pulling influence and best-in-class reference from the world's most formidable fashion brands. And that's really what we're taking into account. And so, we're starting to see that more and more in California in particular, but it's nice that we can say that we help pioneer this point of view.
It's very cool. Anything coming down the horizon? Like, I know you guys have been really busy with Baker, but anything maybe you can share with the world, that might be kind of in store next?
Absolutely. So when we launched Baker's, as I stated earlier, it was, you know, we moved it forward by 90 days. So we weren't able to introduce all of the products that we were hoping to introduce at a later launch date. But that just gives us more opportunity to roll out new products as the season allows going into summer. So expect to see additional products from Baker's, our deep value brand that's going to be purposely making accessible and available. And that was the other thing that I meant to touch on is part of our reason for being is as a value brand and or a velocity brand, being able to supply our customers and ultimately consumers is a part of that value proposition. So having product in stock all the time, readily accessible is huge for us. So with that being said, new products are coming down. Candescent is also working on a couple of new products, none of which I feel comfortable sharing, unfortunately, but it's just something that we want to keep under wraps, but we are eagerly and anxiously awaiting some of the pieces to come together so that we can introduce new products and line extensions as we move into Q3 and then ultimately Q4. And then one brand that we haven't talked much about is Good. Good is our premium cannabis brand that is straightforward, plain talking, honest to goodness, good for you, good for the planet position brand. We like to think of Good as you know, the Good ethos is about good health, good practices, and good times. So Good is you know, with Good, we're leaning into a campaign now that is about our vape line. And, you know, our vape is full spectrum, oil in the raw. It's something that we've brought to market in Q1 of this year that is seeing a phenomenal response, right? So we couldn't be more pleased in a time where a category had gotten beaten up for the reasons why, you know, this audience will know last year. We're now seeing some of those sales return, and Good is enjoying that. Good is also a flower brand that sells eighths and pre-rolls in a variety of different configurations. So as our architecture or as our portfolio sort of prescribed, Candescent sort of sits on top as the echelon, ultra-premium cannabis brand. Good in the middle as that straightforward, plain-talking, good for you, good for the planet brand, and then Candescent at the lower shelf. So as we move through the balance of 2020, you'll see various line extensions across all three brands, all of which we're very excited about.
Awesome. Well, Sam, if you've listened to the show before, you know, we talk, you know, in the beginning a little bit about business and work and all that fun stuff. And then we have a few, you know, quick fire questions that are just for you. Are you ready?
I am.
Favorite day of the week?
Thursday.
Doesn't it feel like Thursday every week though? Like, I feel like every week I'm like, I can't believe it's Thursday again. And tomorrow's
called Blursday.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Do you have a nickname that your parents used to call you?
A nickname, you know, I do have a nickname and I'm just sort of real time processing whether or not, which one I want to share, but, the one that I will share is one that if you've got sort of Latino or Mexican-American listeners subscribing in your audience will affectionately know as Mijo. So it's just a term of affection for my son.
My son.
Yeah, I guess that would be the closest thing.
I have a really good story for you offline that we'll have to talk about with Mijo. That's really funny because then I'll have two friends now that I call Mijo. So favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? Good question. I think Christmas is my favorite holiday, but not for the gift-giving reasons or gift-getting reasons, more for the gift-giving reasons. In my family, traditionally, Christmas is the time we come together. Being from Southern California, it's a time that we get to, you know, Christmas here is traditionally pretty warm in Los Angeles. So we split our time between either the beach or the mountains and snowboarding. So I would say Christmas.
Nice. So here's a serious question. Why can't we tickle ourselves?
We can't? I guess.
No.
I guess we can't.
Try it.
That seems weird, Jeff. I don't want to try that. I don't know. It's like an existential question.
It's a serious question, though. Like, we cannot tickle ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think about that and get back to you.
Name a word that starts with the letter Q.
Qualitative.
There you go. What's running low in your house right now?
I'm stumped. I feel as though we're at the grocery store routinely, so I want to say everything, but I would more specifically have to say beer is probably running low these days.
Nice. Is double dipping ever acceptable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe not when you and I are together, but
yes,
I'm famously a double dipper.
Well, how about this? Is double dipping ever acceptable at a party?
Without exception, no.
Right? A little different. What's the first thing that you're going to do when this whole quarantine thing is over?
Great question, and one that my friends and I have been debating. The first thing that I will do once this quarantine is over is likely to host a party amongst our friends. That is very much influenced by my wife's desire as well. And if it's not hosting a party, it's certainly a night on the town dancing. So that's those seem to be our options.
I like it. I like it a lot. Awesome. Well, Sam, listen, thanks for coming on the show. Congrats on Bakers and congrats on everything that you guys are doing and, you know, being first movers. And we're going to keep watching you and following you and, you know, rooting for you guys.
Thanks so much, Jeff, again, for having me. It was a pleasure to be here and chat with you. And congratulations on the trajectory of the show.
Thanks, Sam.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.